I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Do you like what you're hearing right now? Then be sure to check out VOC Nation. Whether it's on vocnation.com or your favorite podcast provider, VOC Nation offers the greatest in live and on-demand content, great interviews, and incredible insight from those who have lived the business. 7 days a week, vocnation.com. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hey, wrestling fans, this is the Dragon talking at you. Ricky Steamboat, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to The Room.
How can I bear this longer?
Perfect, nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter
Alright, there we are. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network, VOCNation.com. And don't forget, if you want to call in and interact with us here tonight, the website for you to tap or to click on, whatever the case may be, from your phone, tablets, your computer, better than ever, just visit callvoc.com. Once again, callvoc.com. We are streaming live from the VOC Nation Wrestling Network and, of course, all of our syndication partners. And, yeah, I'm excited to be here. Brady Hicks joining us. As always, we have Matt Grimm. What's going on, Matt?
Here we go again, Brady. Another week.
I will say that about this week. It is another week.
It is that.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have some fun tonight, though. We also have joining us Howard Morgan. What's going on, Howard?
What's going on, guys? And, yeah, I kind of concur with Matt. I think between last week and this week, we are all just another week older.
Yeah. I honestly, I feel like I'm about 20 years older after watching Raw from yesterday. But it's all good. It's all good. Again, callvoc.com is what you would hit from your phone or whatever if you want to talk to us here tonight. And, we have a bunch of callers in the queue. Exciting as always. The numbers seem to be jumping up at the moment, which is really cool. I love the I know I kind of have been talking about it a whole lot, but I love how stable StreamYard has been as a platform as opposed to when we used Blog Talk for all those years. This is nice, you know. I think we found it. At least we found it for now, so. And with, you know, video options and certainly the audio stuff. Things are looking up for the VOC Nation Radio Network. And don't forget to check out all the great features on VOCNation.com as well. We're about a week and a half now, I believe, from the Royal Rumble. Which, like, for me, that always brings back so many fond memories of being a younger wrestling fan. I can proudly say that I've seen them all. I don't know how many people can say that. I can remember going to, like, I guess it was West Coast Video, Matt. You remember West Coast Video?
Love it.
That was my place, man.
That place was wonderful.
Oh, it was amazing. And I loved because they had a wrestling section that was larger than like their adult section.
It Which was is huge. Saying something because they had a pretty it is adult saying section something. Back in the day.
It really is saying something, you know. And I would always check them out from that section. I would always check out videos from them.
From the adult section or the wrestling section? Okay.
From the wrestling section, obviously. Yeah. Well, there was wrestling involved in both, if we're going to be totally fair here. But I'm getting the glare, guys. I'm getting the glare. Want to say anything, honey? The bad thing about temporarily living at your mother-in-law's is your studio is incapacitated.
Yeah, that's a topic.
Yeah. So anyway, I used to love going to like West Coast Video, and I would pick out like an old Royal Rumble, you know, even the ones that I had seen. It was just cool, you know, and so many great memories from that. I think the most common one that everybody talks about today is the Ric Flair one from 1992. Mm. And 1992 holds a very special place in my heart, guys, because like that year, that roster was stacked. That was like before WCW was really a viable alternative. You know, you're talking about Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Randy Savage, Sid was huge at the time. Undertaker was up and coming. You still had Roddy Piper going strong. You had Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels starting to emerge. 92 was an amazing year. You had Bulldog pushing for the main event. I'm sure I'm thinking of him. You know, I'm missing a million others, but it was just an amazing year. And that Royal Rumble was just so much fun, you know. Every single year, up until probably like the Attitude Era, Matt, when it started to pick up again, I always kind of wished that it could have been as good as 1992 was.
Yeah, that's one of the better ones historically.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, the commentary with Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon, it was really right. You know, they had about a year left together at that point. And I felt like it was probably some of the best work that they had done as a team, which is really saying something. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just pulled it up, Brady, as you were talking about it. The roster was stacked, and I mean the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, in and of itself, I mean, I'll just give you a quick rundown: the British Bulldog, DiBiase, Flair, Jerry Sags, Haku, Shawn Michaels, Tito Santana, the Barbarian, Texas Tornado, Repo Man, Greg Valentine, Volkoff, Big Boss Man, Hercules, Piper, Jake Roberts, yeah, Jim Duggan, and if we stop there, that would have been a fantastic Royal Rumble,
yeah,
you know, and mm-hmm, just all of these guys involved are and were, you know, legitimate, maybe with the exception of Skinner, you know, we're pretty solid, you know, and Virgil maybe, we're pretty solid performers in the 90s and throughout the 90s, you know.
I didn't hear you talking about the Mountie.
Was he in here? Hold on, was he?
Bret Hart. No, he fought Piper. He fought Piper because Bret Hart goes sick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and that was when I could be wrong. I'm probably mixing up my times, but I think that's when he had the shockproof vest. Piper, because the Mountie used to use the cattle prod. I wish I had a cattle prod, Matt, and I wish I could use it as liberally as the Mountie did. There are some people that I would go around with the cattle prod, for sure. For sure.
You're an evil man, Brady.
1992 was also great because the Warrior came back at WrestleMania that year. Even though he didn't last very long, it was really cool. And we got the rematch between him and Savage at SummerSlam that year. And then in the fall, we also had Scott Hall, by the way. Come in as Razor Ramon with the whole Scarface thing, which was amazing at the time. And it led to my favorite match of all time when Kurt Hennig came back. He had been managing Ric Flair. But around Survivor Series that year, when Warrior left the company unexpectedly, Randy Savage asked Mr. Perfect to be his tag team partner at Survivor Series against Flair and Razor Ramon. My favorite match of all time is actually a tag team match between those four.
And that went down on, I believe, like Tuesday Night Titans or something, when Bobby Heenan was saying there's no way that, you know, Perfect would side with Savage. And that was a big deal at the time, you know, Perfect siding with or teaming with Savage at that point, which was great television.
And what I loved about it is, like, Mr. Perfect came in and I found out that babyface Mr. Perfect truly is perfect. Savage was like the babyface in peril. He was the one that got beat down the whole match. But when Mr. Perfect got tagged in, Matt, it was like he did nothing wrong. He was flawless. Nobody got any offense in on him. It was amazing. I thought, like, if this is the Kurt Hennig that we had gotten 3 years earlier, he probably would have been a world champion.
Quite possibly.
In WWE. Yeah. You know? So, yeah, quite it's possible. All about 1992. I'm being told that we have no sound.
No that sound. Good.
I can hear everybody.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear everybody.
All right, let's just see. Just testing.
No, sound. No you have it on YouTube. Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Yep, I hear the echo. So
you can hear it on YouTube. I just unmuted it. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, you know, it's Harry. He's from a third world country.
Huh.
I'm in Ohio. He obviously moved from England. I'm only playing, guys.
From a fourth world country to a third world country.
Yeah. Yeah, they went from, like, dumping their human waste out onto the street to, like...
dumping it in the river.
Yeah. I'm glad we have sound. I'm glad to hear that. So anyway, yeah. So I'd love to talk about Royal Rumble memories tonight. Like I said, we got a bunch of callers. We're definitely going to start to work them in. And screw you, Harry, for messing up my mojo there for a second. we're going to have a good time. We are. Howard, I'll start with you because I definitely kind of look at you as a wrestling historian. Any Royal Rumble in particular besides the 92 one that you look back on and very fondly?
I mean, 92 was great. I don't know if I could pick one. But, you know, and I was just thinking about that, you know, when you compare, Royal Rumble 1992 and the great year that it was, it kind of reminds me of the year that Jim Crockett Promotions had in 86. You know, just all of the celebrities and everything that they, not celebrities, but all the stars that they had and all the matches that they had. 92 was a really great year, but I'm kind of an old school kind of guy. I kind of like, you know, the original, was it 88? Was the first Royal Rumble? Because it was new, you know, nobody had done it before. And again, you know, you had a lot of guys that were there. There's only 20 participants that year, but it still was the first one. And
that was Hacksaw one, right?
Yep. Yeah, I was gonna say Jim Duggan or Jim Dugan, if you're Bill Watts, you know, was the winner of that one. Sam Houston was in it, and a lot of crossovers. Ron Bass came over, and I got to see a lot of the guys that I kind of grew up watching in that 86 time frame. Now here they are 2 years later in, you know, what I considered the big time, you know, they made it to New York. But to me, yeah, that first one will always be special to me because it was so really innovating and you knew it was only going to get better from there.
And I remember thinking, like, how cool is that? That Hacksaw, to me as a little kid, I thought, like, okay, One Man Gang seemed like about as big of an obstacle as you could get at the time. Unless you're talking about like Andre the Giant or something. So the way I don't know, just the way he lasted, and it was just cool to see. And it was groundbreaking because it was the first one. Groundbreaking. How about you, Matt? I feel like we've talked about this in the past. Any Royal Rumble stand out to you?
You know, 92 definitely was great. I have a soft spot for the first one that Austin won because it sort of was ushering in the Attitude Era. Not that it was necessarily a great Rumble, but just, you know, kind of important for its place in history. I mean, there have been so many great Rumble moments, and there have been so many Rumbles that are just not that much fun to watch. It's such a mixed bag, but like the concept behind it is so great that it's enough to keep you coming back each year, and you always look forward to it no matter what, which is always, you know, even when it doesn't pay out, that was always one of the, you know, the coolest things about it was the level of anticipation.
I feel like in recent years, it's become more about the surprises, you know, the unexpected people that show up and have a brief cameo.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. That's a shame, I think, because like the entire idea of like anybody can go in here and win this. And like, let's be fair, like, you know, we all knew like Haku or Hercules weren't going to win this thing. But it was cool to see. It was cool to see guys mix it up that you didn't usually see fight each other.
Right.
And the unpredictability of the whole thing made it cool. And they always like managed to have like an upset or two, like where like Hulk Hogan gets knocked out or whatever. It's neat. It was a neat thing. I feel like since we kind of have really embraced parody booking in the 2000s, like the first probably 15, 20 years of the 2000s, the Royal Rumbles really have had very few highlights in recent years. I go back maybe to like Rey Mysterio winning it. I think it was like 06, which was really just a surprise.
Yeah. Yep.
The one that came down to Shawn and The Undertaker to kind of like set up their WrestleMania match. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other one was Edge coming back from injury and winning it. Not the second time when I thought he had no business winning it because he had been out of the ring for so long. But the first one, you know, the first time when he came back when he had been injured for like a year or 9, 10 months or whatever it was and came back and surprised everybody. We were doing the podcast, I think, when that one kind of went down. So in recent years, yeah, I mean, I remember being really disappointed 10 years ago when Bryan Danielson couldn't win it despite being so over.
Yeah, that was...
In fact, he wasn't even in that one. God,
I was debating even bringing that up because it's such a... For me, it's such a stain on that year's Rumble.
Stain.
Yeah. You said stain.
Yeah. No, it's true though. It's true. And I remember that was the year when Rey Mysterio got booed because everyone thought Bryan Danielson was coming out at 30 and then it was Rey Mysterio and
oh god, he just got caught in the crossfire. Yeah. It's not like people were actually mad that he was there. They just didn't want him winning the Rumble.
And then to like even further insult the fans, I think that was the year when they had Blue Tista come back from being an actor just to compete in the Royal Rumble. And he won it. And he won it. Yeah.
Oh God. Like, remember like all the stuff, like all the memes and like the t-shirts, like making fun of like his belly stamp and everything right after that.
Yeah.
Like, people were angry.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to bring on Harry, who figured out that he has to unmute his YouTube in order to listen to the show. What's going on, Harry?
You know, Hicks, I never thought I'd see a day where I actually was in the wrong and you're in the right, but I noticed at the top of my tab it had a little mute symbol, and I was like, well, that teaches me for muting my tabs.
I'm just glad you figured it out and that I didn't spend the first 10 minutes talking to nobody, which has happened many times on Blog Talk, by the way.
Yeah. So yes, it has.
Well, it's good you didn't. It's good you didn't, Hicks.
So how was your little leaps and bounds? How was your little program on Friday night? Sorry, I missed it.
You're fine. You're fine. Hey, that was really, I mean, that was my wife's show. That was Justin America's show. That was for me and Chondo to just sit back and let them throw their ideas out. So, yeah, it was fun. Okay. It was fun.
Okay, cool. Where can people check that out?
YouTube.com/ The Great Harry Barnett.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay. With two T's.
With two T's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. any famous Royal Rumble moments that jump out at you, Harry?
Remind me of the actor's name that was in one of those rumbles. I believe that was
Drew Carey.
Yes, that was the first rumble I ever saw. Because I didn't start watching until like mid-2000s.
Yeah, so, that was like.
Yeah, that was definitely interesting. That was 2001.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, that was my first. That was on free TV in the UK. So in the UK, you have. Well, not so much now, but a few years back, you'd have five channels and then you could go and get like a cable or like a free edition to be able to get more channels. And you'd have it on channel 4 at like midnight, 1 a.m. on free TV, where you'd keep getting commercials in the middle of your pay-per-view. So it's like watching on Peacock now. And yeah, I had my brother videotape it for me. I watched it the next morning and I was like, I had no idea who Drew Carey was at the time.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, okay, there's an actor in the Rumble. But no, I liked it. Big fan of Austin at the time. So
he won that one, didn't he?
He did.
Yes, he did. He did. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Because he challenged The Rock. That was like their, that was the big year where he turned bad.
It was, yeah. The handshake no one expected.
Wow. Okay. Definitely yeah, a moment.
Such a long time ago. That was what, 2001? So that was
2001. 23
years ago. So I turned 33 tomorrow.
Hits. Like, if you think about it, it's crazy because, like, that year was, like, so much up and down. Like, they started that year, like, on fire. Mm-hmm. They were incredible because they had The Rock and Austin, and then they had a bunch of like young and up and coming guys.
Yeah.
Like Benoit and Jericho and Angle and Guerrero. And it was like, everybody was like getting really good all at the same time. Then you had like veterans, like The Undertaker. I guess Foley was gone by that point, but there was just like, there was so much there to get excited about. They had like potentially the biggest WrestleMania ever up to that point, which was like the Houston Astrodome.
Oh, come on. That's still the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
Right? Probably.
If not the best.
Attendance-wise, but certainly it was one of the best.
Yeah, still is.
Yeah, and like universally like accepted as that. And then like right around that time, they bought WCW and the whole business just went, just nosedived.
You know, Brady, you mentioned all the upstarts that they had with,
yeah,
you know, but you left out the most upstart of upstarts in K-Quick.
Yes. I was actually going to bring him up later in the show. That guy is a treasure. He is. Yeah. Did you hear that, like, his Judgment Day merchandise, which they made just to be funny or whatever?
Outsold everyone.
Everybody last week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm not shocked.
It's funny. It's funny. They even did the angle on Raw where he's like out in the parking lot selling the stuff to fans.
Yeah, giving everyone their cut.
Yeah, that was good. That was, R-Truth is amazing.
Everything really is, like, now every show really does have something to see. I'll tell you that. There was a time, because before I started coming here, before I moved here, there was a time where I hadn't watched Raw or SmackDown in a long time. I'd barely catch pay-per-views. But when I came here, it was like, oh, okay, it's Monday, we'll watch Raw. Oh, it's Friday, we'll watch SmackDown. Now,
you're boring now.
Yeah. Now it's like, everything is, it really is like, there is something to see on each show. Like, I genuinely thought, I don't know if you saw me post this, I genuinely thought that Jinder was going to win last night and then Damian Priest was going to cash in. I genuinely thought that Damian Priest would have won the title going out of last night, but it didn't happen. But still, it's that must see aspect to it has come back.
That's how they would have done it during the Attitude Era. You know, they would have had it be unpredictable. Now it's predictable.
But you still have that aspect of I want to see it just in case.
Well, sure. Sure, and they always give you, like, just enough, like, feasibility that it could happen.
Yeah.
Unlike the last, like, 10 years, which I feel like were written by, like, ChatGTP. In fact, I've asked ChatGTP to write an episode of Raw for me, and it was infinitely more interesting than anything that I would have watched at the time.
Did it just tell you to ask Vince Russo?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Because that would not have been infinitely better. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. So, Harry, now that you're in America, have you been to a bar and seen somebody wearing a wrestling t-shirt?
I don't drink, Hicks. You really think I'm going to go to a bar?
You wouldn't just go to just be social? Or to see a band? Or to play billiards? No, nothing.
Does O'Charlie's count as a bar?
Hicks? I didn't know you were straight edge.
Yeah.
Well, no drugs.
I was, but obviously because of my brain thing, I can't drink.
Oh.
Yeah, because it thins your blood, doesn't it? So.
Oh, does it? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I would have thought it thickened the blood. That's why I always get headaches. I gotcha.
Well, that's what stops me, the headaches. But to answer your question, no, I haven't gone out to bars and seen people wearing wrestling shirts. Seen the occasional person out and about wearing wrestling shirts, but, you know.
You don't see it as often, so.
Depends where you go. Like, yeah, I can't remember where exactly I've seen them, but I've just seen them in random places, in Kroger or somewhere like that, and you see someone wearing a wrestling shirt.
There's this place not far from Philadelphia. It's along the Jersey Shore. It's called Wildwood.
I'm aware of Wildwood.
Okay, so it's a boardwalk, you know, amusements, all that, for people who aren't familiar. There was a time, especially like 1997 through like 2000.
Through yesterday,
you would see wrestling t-shirts all the time. Yeah, you're right, Howard. I think they were selling NWO shirts last year on the boardwalk.
Yeah, they still had the red and black shirts for sale. Yeah.
It's funny. It's like a place that doesn't exist in reality.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I just watched Jeopardy tonight with my wife, and one of the questions was like, or one of the categories was like 80s wrestling stuff. And four out of the five were like so easy, but everybody struggled except for like the one guy. You could tell you, this is the guy that watched wrestling, you know. Nobody else had any idea. They were like, what you gonna do, brother, when my 24-inch pythons run wild on you? And like, nobody knew except for like the one guy, you know. So funny stuff. I wore my Bray Wyatt shirt to a bar. That's why I asked.
Did you get thrown out? They asked you to leave?
No.
Not because of his shirt. It was other reasons he got thrown out.
Yeah, it was other reasons. Not wearing pants. Yeah.
Right.
You straight up Donald Duck.
Yeah. Yeah. And even that shirt is like so subtle that like I think most people would give it a casual glance and just think it's like a band shirt or something. It's just got
I was just about to say that. Bray Wyatt did give off that like heavy metal kind of look to him.
Yeah, so. He did. You know, now the shirt I've got my eye on is Rick Rude, and it's like his upper body profile, and it's just like, sup, ladies. I like that shirt a lot.
I never really actually got that many wrestling shirts in my lifetime. You know, I had.
I've got a bunch.
Well, I had a Steve Austin one when I was a kid.
Everybody did, yeah.
A DX one. I have an LA Knight and a Cody one. And then there's like Chondo's shirt, which I got because I think me and two other people got it. Other than that, I don't have a wrestling shirt. An On Point shirt that Loudy gave me, a New Moon shirt that Jake gave me. Other than that, I don't have wrestling shirts.
Yeah, I've got the Austin. I've got two or three DX ones, including like a vintage 1997 one where it was talking something about gonna steal your girlfriend, loser boy, and it was like Sean and Hunter, like the original kind of weird logo that they had. Not like the standard one that like got so big in like 98, but like this kind of weird red one.
The blood one, the one that looks like
It was like blood. Yeah. I had that one. I had an NWO shirt. But I had it like post merger, so I have like the one where like Booker T and the Big Show were in the NWO. I have that one.
There's actually a lot of people in my office. The younger, I'd say younger, they're in their 30s or 40s that I see a lot of wrestling shirts on them.
Mm-hmm. It happens quite a bit, yeah. And then all the independent ones, you know. I've got some funny ones from Barbershop. I have like an Andre the Giant one. He's got like just like the funny sunglasses and it just says Dre. I've got a Hollywood Blonde shirt that I bought on Barbershop. And I always wanted I'm Sean, You're Marty, but I never got that one. So there's a few that I've had my eye on for a little while, but. The bottom line is when you wear them, most people just don't even get it. So,
yeah. I think that was part of the allure for a while, though, wasn't it? It was like, hey, mm-hmm. you know, you're a wrestling fan. People don't get it. And then on the other hand, it's like, oh, why don't people get it?
Yeah.
I'm lucky. Yeah, I'm lucky I married a wrestling fan just like me. So, you know.
Yeah, you either get it or you don't. There's nobody. I don't think there's anybody in between. Like anybody on the fence about it. They either like it or they don't.
Yeah.
Kelly doesn't naturally like wrestling, but she likes to laugh at it with me. So she doesn't follow it all the time, but like if we'll be watching AEW.
It, she'll make fun of it, right?
She'll be like, oh, there's Sting. I thought he was like retired or whatever. And she's like, and look, he's got a little Sting with him. Darby Allin. And that's why I started calling him Little Sting.
That's great.
Yeah, Little Stinger. And then the punchline for that, Harry, is I thought that's why he retired, because of a little stinger.
That's bad.
Soon enough.
Terrible man.
You know, Little Stinger's going to turn on him, and he will again retire from Little Stinger.
You're a terrible man, Hicks. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Seth Rollins is going to fall down to the curse of the ACL? Supposedly he's injured, and everyone is getting an ACL injury right now.
Who else?
Look at every person who's injured right now. They've got an ACL injury.
Really?
Yeah. The buzz around the internet, and it is buzzing, especially today, is the meaning of the Royal Rumble match may now change if Seth is legitimately hurt, where the winner will not get a shot at the title, but will become world champion.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That was another great thing about the 92 one, by the way. The title was on the line in that one.
That was a year after I was born, so long before my time. But I liked the one where Roman had to defend the title and then he lost it to Triple H at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, most people did.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it came, there was one where like it came down to Dean Ambrose and Triple H, and everyone thought Dean Ambrose was going to win. And then Triple H, he did his Triple H thing, right?
He did what's best. He did what was best for business.
Oh.
And went away.
Best for business. Granny, I see you waiting. You're up next. And we're going to get to each of you guys. Don't worry.
All right. Well, I got to go anyway, Hicks. So it's been fun talking to you.
You too. Right. You too.
And
thanks for everything.
You take care of that hairline. I don't want you to end up even more like me.
Well, there's nothing else.
Or mine. Point. I mean, one or the other.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's heading toward where Howard is. So, yeah. In fact, it's funny. I have this barber I go to, and she gave me these pills. She said, if you take these pills, it should help. She's like, it won't restore your hair, but it'll keep it from going even more. And I'm like, okay.
They weren't little blue pills, were they?
No, they weren't. No, they weren't.
Okay.
I started taking them like candy, you know?
I thought you were going to say that when you went for a haircut, she'd say, which one?
Which one, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
A marker is your friend, Hicks, and youtube.com/ The Great Harry Bonnet.
See you, buddy. So there you go. It's funny. I always thought he was Harry Barnett, but he's Harry Barnett. That's why I asked if he had two T's. So anyway, with the pills, she's given me these pills and I start taking them and I don't notice a difference. You know, I feel like it's my hair is just going, but I'm like 45 years old. You know, I'm older than Kurt Angle was when he started shaving his head. So it's okay. It's okay. But every time I go to her, I think she's afraid I'm going to stop going and just start shaving my head. Because like Howard, she'll like grab like a little piece of my hair and she'll be like, I think I see some new growth there. I haven't been taking these pills in 8 months because they got discontinued. She don't even know that.
So. I haven't been to a barber in probably 20 years.
Yeah. So Granny's having trouble getting in. Granny, if you're listening, try again. You do need a stable internet connection, and I understand you live in Arkansas, so that might be an issue. I don't know.
It probably is because I hear they just got indoor plumbing last week. So
yeah,
the internet's probably not far behind.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go to Tora.
I'm Mitch.
Hey, Tora. And I know Linda's on the line, too. Do you want to be on at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Tora, are you listening to the show? Can you mute it if you are? I feel like I'm hearing myself.
Okay. Yeah.
You got to mute your TV or something.
Yeah, it's the same rules as radio. Let me try that. There we go. Okay, Linda, can you?
Is it not echoing?
I think it's Linda. There we go. That's good. I think it's you. I hear a lot of echoing. It's making me think that one of you is listening.
I think it's Taylor.
Well, it's one of you.
Then, are they in the same room?
Oh, that's a good question. Are you guys in the same room?
Yeah, we're in the living room.
You're going to only be able to use one phone or something because they're going to get the echo all the time.
Thank you, Howard. I was just going to say I'm going to consult with IT here. Linda, I'm going to remove you. If you could slide over with Tora, we can do it that way just because that's why we're getting the echo. So, what's going on, Tora?
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. That's great.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah. We
had bad snow.
You had snow?
Yeah.
Who won the Blues and Flyers game? I didn't see it yet.
Oh my gosh, that was a horrible game.
So the Flyers won.
I don't know.
I'm still getting an awful lot of feedback. Are you killing a bird or something?
No.
Okay, it sounds like you're like slicing like a parakeet's like throat.
Yeah, something's going on.
I don't have any birds.
Are you grinding metal together?
No.
What else does it sound like? Did you get a tiny mouse and put it in a blender?
No.
It just sounds like pure horror.
Ask Linda to mute her phone.
I thought she was muted.
You muted her on our end, but if her mic is still open, she's picking up both of us.
Oh, thanks. Mm. Matt, this is why I didn't go to school for computers.
Yeah.
That and because I used the computer lab to run a pirate email wrestling league. It would have probably gotten me kicked off campus had they read the content of it.
Yeah, it's a good thing they didn't.
I am, of course, only joking.
Kind of joking.
Kind of joking. If anyone's listening, then I'm joking.
Right. Especially anybody at the college you went to. We're just joking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Tora, so I'm flying to Las Vegas.
I'm flying to Las Vegas.
What is up with this, Tora?
What is up with this, Tora?
All right, we can't do this, Tora. I can't do this. Sorry, Tora. So anyway, you can listen to me. And Linda, I'll try and bring you on in a second, but I feel like I'm playing with fire here. I'm flying to Las Vegas, and on my way back, I have to stop in St. Louis for a layover. I'll be there for like 2 hours, which really... It's just striking me. There's no way I could meet up with Tora because she's probably not going to be in the airport unless she lives there. There are people that live in an airport.
Yeah, Tom Hanks did. I've seen it. I saw the movie.
Yeah. All right, let's try Linda, see how this goes. Linda, you there?
Yeah. Have Tora hang her phone up.
Yeah, yes. It's too much. Sorry,
one of them's got to. Yeah, one of them's got to hang their phone up or log out or something.
If you're listening, one of you needs to hang up, and then you just sit real close together, and we can talk, and everything will sound great. In the meantime, let's go to
don't
Tampa
do it.
Rat.
Oh,
we'll do it. I'm going to give the show a lethal dose of poison.
Oh boy, here, guys. Well, we'll be off the air by 8:30.
I'm going to kill my creation. What's up, you goofball? Why are you calling
me? Oh, man, what a day. What a day down here. It's nice and beautiful. Now it's windy.
I'm going to mute him real quick just because I want to say something. So he tricked me into getting my phone number. He tricked me into getting my phone number today. He got a new phone, and he had his sister message me and said, Rat Boy needs your number to get the number to call into the show. And I listened, Matt. I listened. So
you listened.
No, that's your fault. You got nobody to blame but yourself.
All right.
He's still talking. He has no idea. He's been muted.
Listen, we used to do that to Malcolm all the time. We'd put him on hold and do his rant and then we'd come back. We'd be like,
No. What happened was that earlier today, around 12 o'clock, I dropped my phone on my cousin's foot and it broke. I had to get a new phone.
Rat Boy, do you have a minute to hold on? Can you hold on for 1 minute?
Yeah.
I want to put Granny on because she's been trying throughout the night, and I don't want her to. What's going on, Granny? You're on.
Guys, how are you?
Rat Boy, can you mute your phone?
I'm muting them.
All right, there we go.
How you doing? How you doing, Granny?
I hope everybody. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I mean. David's still about the same, still not eating a lot. He's down to 141.9 pounds.
Wow.
And the doctor has prescribed him a morphine patch that lasts like 3 days. So they have to change it out every 3 days, but it helps keep his pain level kind of more balanced out. But he's still not eating a whole lot, and I don't think he's ever going to be able to get to come home. We had snow, about 4 inches of snow a couple days ago, but it's been really cold, so I had to bring my dogs in from outside. So they've been in my computer room. I'm trying to find homes for them because
maybe
with the way my income is going to be, I'm not going to be able to.
Okay.
Say what?
I said maybe they're messing with your internet, the dogs.
What'd you say, Brady?
I said maybe they're messing with your internet, the dogs.
No.
Okay.
I think it might be the weather on my end. I don't know, because when I was listening to you guys earlier, everything was really choppy sounding on my end, and I couldn't understand y'all sometimes.
That is the downside of StreamYard, is that it is internet based. So,
but it's the only downside, you know,
it's the only downside. You occasionally get somebody who has a bad connection, but I guess you occasionally get somebody who has a bad connection on the phone too. So I don't know. We're all praying for you, Granny. And I saw about your dogs. That's really sad. I wish there was a way that I had a lot of money that I could give you a little bit, so that you could continue to do things as you always have.
Well, the thing is, Brady, the house I live in, it's older. And Howard, I apologize that I have not reached out to your friend that you gave me the information about. I have just had so much going on, but I don't have the money to fix up my house. And what money David has, pretty much all of his income is going to be going to pay the nursing facility. I get a little bit of his income to help with what I get on my disability money. Mm-hmm. But it's just, when everything's said and done, I'm barely going to have enough to pay my bills, let alone take care of 2 60-pound dogs, you know. So that's why I'm having to find them good homes. It's not fair to them, you know, that I can't properly take care of them. And being the animal lover that I am, I would make sure that they would have food first before I ate. And I just, you know, I've already lost through this whole ordeal. When I went to the doctor to get my A1C checked the other day, he says, "You've lost some weight since you've been here the last time, quite a bit." I think I've lost 30 pounds, guys, since all this nonsense started.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that. Oh, did you see the A1C commercial where they're singing and dancing? Lowering my A1C. I'm at home all day, so like I see a lot of this stuff.
Now, so. I do. I have seen it occasionally. You know, it's just But I've slept in my computer chair the last probably 3 nights that I've had them in, just so I can kind of keep an eye on them. You know, I blocked the door at night so they can't get out. Now, the other morning I was able to go in and lay down in my bed for a few hours, but for the most part, I've been sleeping in my computer chair. So at night, just to keep, you know, just so they know I'm in here with them, you know, and stuff. It's hard right now. It's really hard, guys, and I'm having a rough time. So,
well, we're continuing to pray. So,
I appreciate it. Yeah. I love y'all. So,
love you too. Take care of yourself.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah. Let's shoot it back to Rat Boy, see what he's going to say. Never know. There's unpredictability right there. What's Rat Boy going to say?
What am I going to say?
So
put it this way, you got the snow, I got the wind, and the sunshine, and a little bit of rain. It's okay down here in Florida, in Tampa,
dark
Florida.
There, isn't it? Isn't it dark down there? What do you mean
it's,
you got the sunshine?
It's dark down here already.
Well, where's the sunshine?
It's playing peekaboo.
I got you.
It's playing peekaboo right now.
He's lying to us.
But you know, during the day is real nice here. But now the temperature dropped a little bit. You know, a little wind.
Mm-hmm.
I can manage that.
That's,
but yeah, I don't got no white stuff on the ground like you guys do.
Yeah, we are covered in snowballs. I gotta say,
that's really unfortunate.
Maybe I not 4 inches of it, but it's
and
definitely.
When I was down here already, I did do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I done a 24-hour bingo.
You haven't even been there for a day, have you?
Yeah. I got here Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
I got here Sunday night by plane. My first time riding on a plane.
Did you say you rode a biplane?
Huh? Yep, I flew into Tampa.
I didn't think they had biplanes anymore.
Yeah, you know, I took a plane. Texas plane to call the Frontier. Straight down to Tampa.
I got
one way.
You know, Frontier's the best. That's the one where they're like, it's only $100, and then like, but it's $200 to choose your seat. So where do you want to sit?
No.
And I even tried calling them up. Like, I'm fine to stand. And they're like, no, you have to choose a seat. All right.
So I will never fly Frontier ever again.
Oh, I won't either because they stranded me in Fort Lauderdale.
I'm down here now.
Down to
and
Miami.
Next Monday I'll be seeing Hulk Hogan.
Louder than Rat Boy in order to be heard.
Right.
But it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. What were you saying, Rat
Boy? And guess what? I just I'm talking
you're
to somebody. His name is Rob, right? Rob. He's from Bergen County, New Jersey.
Okay.
Where
the hell is Bergen County?
It's up North Jersey.
North Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Is it above? It's above Princeton.
Yes.
I don't care about that.
Okay.
I'm just playing.
No. All right.
I'm
not coming back to the first. I did really drop my phone and broke it.
Okay. Would you just go and get a new phone right away?
I was hunting all day for one.
Okay. And you but can't get back on your... You can't just log on to your Facebook and get a new... And get the old one back?
No. What it is that Best Buy's down here tried everything. And what happened is that I have to go home and do it on my desktop.
Okay.
Because what it is that... I unplugged everything before I left. And I forgot to log everything out.
You got it, homie.
That's what happened.
Okay.
But I'm processing doing a new Facebook session tool till I get back, and I'll be at my old one.
Now, are you staying in a hotel?
I'm staying at a house right now.
Okay, so
I'm not.
Are you going to be able to do bed checks at the house?
No, not me.
Where are you staying? Clearwater?
At a halfway house, he said.
I'm staying at a B&B right now.
A B&B.
Yeah, B&B and,
what do you have for breakfast?
I'm right outside of Tampa right now. I'm in the local area.
Did you go to the Eagles game?
I was there at the beginning, but I left.
So you went to the game but left early?
No, I was outside and there was too many people there. We just turned the car around and left.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, that's a little clearer.
That checks out.
He made it to the parking lot.
They have a big parking lot.
And I found out later on they were walking out with paper bags on their heads, the Eagle fans.
I did see them on TV with the paper bags on their heads. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, somebody told me they're walking out with the bags on her heads. I just say, what? But, you know, we got a good time, you know. this evening?
We're talking tonight about the Royal Rumble. What's your favorite Royal Rumble, Rat Boy?
The Royal Rumble. Your favorite one?
Yeah.
It has to be what is it? Titus O'Neil underneath the ring? That was the best.
The one in Saudi Arabia. The one in Saudi Arabia, won by Braun Strowman.
Yes.
Good choice.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the best one.
It could have been worse. Yeah, it could have been worse, but, Matt. I thought he was going to say the one with Mae Young.
Yeah.
That's
dismaying.
I thought I forgot about that one.
I didn't.
Oh, man. Mae Young.
I still see that.
Hmm.
Yeah. At least they were decent enough to use prosthetics, supposedly. I still don't know if I believe it, but...
Wait a minute. You see the ground? I don't got no snow here. See? You believe that one. I'm down here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm on vacation, but I'm still working down here.
Okay.
I'm looking for you guys.
You're working.
I'm going to get the inside scoop, everything, the rumors, the people who's going in there. I'm going to tell you everything.
When are you going to Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop or karaoke?
Monday.
He can't. He's got a restraining order against him.
Well, we find out Monday.
Maybe I'll have to set up a show on Monday so you can call in live from there.
I will be there at that time.
Kelly will kill me. You don't know what time.
Yeah,
what time?
Because he starts his karaoke thing at about 8:39 o'clock, and I'm calling.
Oh, all right.
And plus, this Saturday and Sunday, actually Sunday, no, Saturday, we're going to Disney World for one day.
Okay.
Because I had to do something in there because something I lost and never returned it back yet, and I'm going to fight Disney World. Get my piece back.
Who's your favorite Disney princess? Is it Ariel, like me?
Yes.
I thought so.
I'm going to see her anyway.
It's got a thing for redheads, man.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. It's also unfortunate that he dropped out. That's really unfortunate.
That's a shame.
What are we going to do now?
I don't know. Let's see here. So we talked about R-Truth a little bit. That guy is a national treasure. We talked about the favorite Royal Rumble. How about the way everybody's bullying Deonna Purrazzo online? That really bummed me out. I mean, I've known her from the independents and stuff, but she's such a much different performer than she was back then. You know, I almost said she's grown so well, but that I didn't mean it like the way people are coming after her for her body, basically body shaming her.
So what's the deal? They're making fun of her because of the way she's built?
Yes. Just a whole lot of jokes about how fat she is, basically, and you know, I saw like one person was like going off about how she should get outfits that look more like Nia Jax, stuff like that.
Well, that's a bit much.
Yeah,
it is a bit much. Especially since for a number of reasons it's a bit much, but you know, Nia Jax really did like kind of break the mold in terms of like what WWE expected from their women, you know? So, yeah. It's a shame. So, Deonna told them, these fans, she said, "You're entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to tell you to kiss this fat ass."
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah. It's a shame, you know?
Yeah. It's just something that people forget is, like, you know, like, your opinions are very capable, very much capable of sucking.
Yeah. No, they're totally. Again, it's a shame. It is a shame. And to see her working so hard, because obviously she was with WWE for a little bit, developmental. And then, you know, when they let her go, she was down in TNA doing her thing and doing really well at it. She really was, like, pretty dominant in the women's division, kind of became like the face of the Knockouts roster down there in TNA. But to see her make it up to AEW, like, I was excited for her. You know what I mean? And I like to think that, like, even if WWE fans are a certain kind of pervy way, I like to think that, like, maybe AEW fans would be a little more classy.
You would think, but, I mean...
But they're probably not AEW fans making fun of her on Twitter, so, yeah. And they're wrestling fans, yeah. The whole thing sucks. It bummed me out. How about you, Rap Boy? You bummed out?
I've been bummed out since 4 o'clock this morning. I'm still want to go.
Right,
you know, I've been doing this and that, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning came. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning doing stuff.
Okay.
You know, I'm back in training, and you never know what's going to happen at this Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it's true.
Because this Royal Rumble might mean something to everybody right here on the VOC Nation. You never know when a rat is going to strike, and this is the year when the rat is going to strike.
Is this the year of the rat?
I think that's in a couple more years.
Okay.
Okay.
I was a horse, so I'm a horse. So.
What it is that you never know.
Yeah.
I could jump in the men, or I could jump in the females and scare all the females out of the ring, and the Nia Jax will win the whole thing.
Be very empowering for you, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it, though.
What else you got, buddy? I feel like I don't want to take away from your vacation anymore.
Hey. I didn't have, since I've been down here, I have not yet stopped yet.
Well, maybe it's time to stop.
Yes, tomorrow I am off.
I'm going out to lunch.
Going out lunch with my cousin that I haven't seen. The next day, I might be right here once again on the VOC Nation with WCW Retro with Howard there. What are we talking about, Howard?
Thursday night you're talking about, right?
Yes, Thursday night.
I thought he said tomorrow night. He scared me a minute. I don't know yet. I think we're just going to keep it open for right now.
Okay.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I haven't had much time to think about topics, so we'll just keep it open and talk all things wrestling and everything in between.
And you don't want Rat Boy thinking too much.
Right, right, yeah. Okay, you know, he's on vacation. He needs a break.
There is one thing we could talk about. We're always talking about men wrestling. Let's go in with the female wrestling.
What about it?
We could talk about nothing but the females.
Nothing but the females.
Yeah, we'll figure it out on Thursday.
The first night I got here.
Was that too subtle? I was trying to be subtle.
The first night I got here, I was flipping the station. I found WOW.
Wow.
And I saw the girl that I really like. Her name is Santana.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Amber O'Neill.
Her too. I seen her too. And Santana.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The main eventer. Santana was the main eventer.
Mm-hmm.
And O'Neill. Whoa.
All right. I think we're done, man. You got anything else?
I think that's it. I just want to say, guys, I know it's rough up there. Please stay safe because it's snowing up there. Ice.
Not anymore. Oh. It stopped. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you right now. The Rats Weather Report. You are going to have another fall on Wednesday night.
Another fall?
Mark my word. Another snowfall.
Going back to autumn.
another snowfall because I read it online. God's due for another snowfall.
Oh, we hear it online. It must be true.
Well, he's about as accurate as the groundhog, you know?
And put it this way, Heaven and Eagle fans are still down here. They can't fly home yet.
I'll bet they can. They probably bet the house that the Eagles are going
to
win.
Right. It's got nothing to do with the weather. They're all broke. They can't afford a ticket home.
Put it this way, I'm good. I'll be up to February 1st. I'll be coming home on the 3rd.
There you go.
You know, I'll be way clear. Clear of all that stuff.
All right, buddy.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys later. You guys take care. You know.
Give your cousin a big wet kiss for me.
I will.
All right.
Let me see if I can get her on Thursday night for a little bit.
Sounds great.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
You work her.
Yeah.
See ya.
All right.
See ya, Tim.
You guys take care. Make sure, you know, the snowstorm's up there. Stay safe and don't get sick. And wear your mask up there.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm done.
It is flu season up there, not down here.
I'll stuff the mask up my nose. How's that sound?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm done with the mask. I'm done.
And I am recreating a new Facebook page.
Okay. You know, well, you created one today. How many do you have to have? Gonna be like
5 or 6.
I'm going to try to get pictures on it. The pictures down here.
Gotcha.
Then when I get back up there, I can transfer them over to my old account.
Yeah, okay. So you are going to be able to get on your old account again. This is,
yes,
this is just a temporary account because we can't go 2 weeks
yeah,
without
you. Yeah, soon as I get home.
I'm sure I could.
I got to do everything on a desktop.
I got
the phone. The phone's not letting me do it. If I do it on a desktop, it will let me do it.
Well, go do it on the desktop.
I am going to do it on the desktop. Maybe I could do it on my cousin's laptop when I'm down here. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to try
on your cousin's lap. What? Stop.
I don't need to know this.
Stop. You start out with a sloppy kiss and take it from there.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
And another thing, you know, I'm not going to say this, okay?
We need to start giving him, like, credits. Like, you have 3 credits that you can use. And then, like, I'll give him 3 every week. But you know what I mean? Like, after 3. Go ahead. What else you got? 3.
Okay.
2.
I didn't want.
All right, good.
I would always say he's always entertaining, but then I'd be lying.
Yeah. FML. He's always something.
Yeah, he's there you go. He's always something.
Yeah. Howard, you put up earlier, I saw in the chat, you put up that Brock Lesnar's coming back. I did not read the article, like any good journalist. So when is Brock Lesnar coming back?
They didn't give a timeline. They just said he's coming back to Raw, which I could care less if he comes back.
It could be any minute. I heard Andrade's coming back to SmackDown like a month ago.
Yeah, well, you know, and until he passed, how many times did we hear that Bray Wyatt was coming back and Randy Orton was coming back? And I just think they're desperate to have people tune in and watch, you know, with the anticipation that maybe he'll come back. But for how long? I mean, that's always been my big thing with part-time guys. Like, stop. There's so many people on this roster now. You don't need Brock Lesnar. You don't need to bring in surprise guests for the Royal Rumble. You have enough participants on both sides, on the male and female, to have a very good Royal Rumble match without any of the extra fluff.
I hate how it's become – I hate how it's become what former star that we haven't seen in 15 years is coming back for a cameo to do all this
stuff. And that's all it is. It's a 5 or 6 minute cameo, and that's all it'll be.
Yeah.
And it takes away from 5 or 6 minutes that somebody else could have 5 or 6 minutes on mainstream television on a huge platform that you don't normally get.
Yeah, give me Chad Gable, not the boogeyman, Matt.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
work with AEW. If you want to surprise me, bring in the Young Bucks for this. That would surprise me.
That would definitely be surprising for sure.
Yeah.
Bring in somebody who can still go and, you know, it has something other than just being a part-timer in their future.
Yeah. Sure. And if you bring in someone from AEW, don't let it be somebody who the crowd hates so much because of allegations that they have to play the music the whole time that they're wrestling.
Yeah. I thought about it, you know, just as I was walking back from my kitchen, what would be an interesting, even if you did a short mini Royal Rumble, get 10 guys from NXT with the promise of a main roster contract to whoever wins it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You know what's more exciting than a surprise that you didn't want to see? Is something that you know about that you're excited for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the whole surprise returns and, you know, I don't care if I ever see, you know, Diesel in a match ever again. You know, I don't need all of that.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't need surprises anymore. Just give me a good Royal Rumble match.
How about the fake Diesel? No, that's Kane.
I think we've seen enough of him, too, at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the surprises are overrated. Surprise me by having a really good Royal Rumble where I'm excited to see everybody that's in there.
Yeah, I think right.
This year the rumor was X-Pac. Oh, X-Pac's going to be in. I liked X-Pac. He was fine. You know, I always thought he was a little predictable, but I thought he was fine. But, you know, he's talking about, well, I'm 2 months away from being able to take off my shirt and do a match. All right, so let's stop talking about how exciting it would be to just because you can say X-Pac was in it.
Like, AJ Styles was a good surprise entrant, but he also then stuck around and worked for the company after that.
Right, exactly.
Right,
those
yeah.
Those kind of surprises are, like, when Edge came back and won it, like, that was a cool surprise. Because nobody knew he was coming back.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So. Yeah. There's no like buzz around the Royal Rumble anymore, you know, because we've gotten so programmed to who's going to be the surprise guy, and we'll wait through 30 participants,
right?
Realize, oh, he was our surprise eight entrants ago. Oh, great.
Yeah. It kind of bums me out the more we talk about it. You know? Because I know it's going to be like freaking like Teddy Long climbing in the ring. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's somebody that that'll be like, oh, look, the gobbledygooker's here. Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Think of the 30 people that could have had that spot.
Right. You know,
yeah.
Or, God, and as much as I loved him as a kid, you know, can you imagine, you know, Ricky Morton coming down to the ring? Like, oh. This is what
See,
I waited
that would
for.
Be fun. I'd be all right with Ricky Morton. He can at least do a bunch of Canadian destroyers and challenge for the U.S. title, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. By the way, unrelated, but I had this great idea the other day for like WWE, because obviously they're constantly combining belts and then splitting them and then combining them. Forever, and I hate it.
Yeah.
And I wish there was another way that they could do it. And here's the answer that I came up with. You combine the North American, Intercontinental, and United States title. You do a triple threat like at WrestleMania. The new Intercontinental Champion, whoever that is, then gets unified with the NXT title. You're getting rid of a bunch of belts all at once. And when you're the NXT champion, you're defending that belt on NXT, but it's also functioning as the secondary belt on Raw and SmackDown. So whoever's the champion of NXT gets to come up and essentially be the workhorse Intercontinental champion on Raw and SmackDown. And you got rid of like five belts that way. Maybe not five, maybe three. Maybe only two.
So that would leave NXT with only one singles title.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
They don't need more than that.
And you know what? You could have a United States, you could have a North American title on NXT, I guess. That just, it doesn't get you on the main roster having it, you know? But I feel like there's too many belts.
There's way too many.
Way too many.
And that's not purely a W. That's obviously an AEW problem too.
Yeah, yeah. Once you start talking about like trios champions and like you buy a company, WWE had this problem with WCW, and it's like, why dilute yourself like that? The first thing they should have done when they realized that WCW couldn't be its own standalone viable product, which I still say it could have and should have been. All they had to do was do a draft and have WCW be one of the shows. But if you're not going to do that, then, like, you don't need a United States title and an Intercontinental title. You don't need WCW Tag Team Champions and WWE Tag Team Champions.
No.
You know? It's the same thing with Ring of Honor. You know? I mean, they could follow that same model. The Ring of Honor champion could be the, I don't know, what's the secondary title for AEW?
The
TBS.
It's either the TBS or the International.
Yeah, they have too many. The international title should just be like competed, like it should be like just fighting like people outside the company, like bring in New Japan or whatever, like Forbidden Door kind of stuff. That should be the international title.
I'd almost rather they get rid of the TBS title because that title feels like it's just been an albatross around the neck of so many of the people who have held it.
Who has it now? Do you even know?
Christian has it now.
Christian.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the only one who's done well with it lately.
Yeah, he has. Because he's got his grill, because he knows what he's doing, honestly. He's got that experience, you know?
Go figure.
Yeah, but my rule of thumb with the title is if I can't off the top of my head remember who the champion is, then, like, you probably don't need that title.
Right.
Because it's not doing anybody a service, and they're not doing it a service.
Yeah, who's the who's even the United States champion right now?
Logan Paul.
I was gonna say you had to call me out on it, didn't you, Logan Paul?
And he hasn't defended it, I believe, since he won it.
How great would it be at WrestleMania if Logan Paul went in with an open challenge, and Gunther came out and destroyed him and unified those belts?
That would be good.
No, that's a good outcome for that.
You know, as it is, he's probably going to lose it to Kevin Owens. Yeah. There are a bunch of belts that they have that I have to really think about it, you know, like the women's tag team champions. Like for the longest time it was Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. And I was like, who are the tag team? And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's the party girls from NXT.
Yeah.
Sorority Row or whatever they're called. Alpha.
Talk about a title that that's been an albatross around the necks of the people who have held it.
Well, it's like honestly, unless a team involving Sasha Banks or Bayley has it, I'm not interested. Or the Iconics. I miss the Iconics.
Yeah, they had a good run.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're coming back anytime soon. It seems like they've got other interests in life now. So they're out. They're out.
It's looking like they're done. They had their time, as brief as it was, and they're done. So, yeah, but there's a bunch of titles that, that they could get rid of. And even like Howard, I go through this every couple years. I go through this, and every time I say it, people crap all over me. But the main event of WrestleMania should not involve the Royal Rumble winner against one of the two champions. Pick which one. You know what they should do? No, really, do you know what they should do?
No. What should they do?
I'm going to tell you on the other side of this commercial break.
Oh, you're going to make me
call in. Call in. www.callvoc.com and we'll get you on. This is
such a tease.
VOC Nation Wrestling Network.
Be right back.
Hey, this is Total Package. Lex Luger, you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
BOC Nation's own Stro Maestro suffered a major medical and financial catastrophe this year. From the BOC Nation family, to all of you, please continue to pray for Stro Maestro for his continued recovery. You can also donate to his cause, paypal.me/PalpaStro. The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kathy Fitz, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks, having started way back in 2010. VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Works. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Phil Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, Tony here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my...
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found a true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think, I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion. You know?
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a loss.
Didn't have anything to do?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is this, that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
and gentlemen, we're back. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. VOCNation.com. Don't forget, call into the show. Just visit or tap on your phone or your tablet or your computer. Just go to callvoc.com, and that'll put you right in touch with us here on the platform. VOC Nation, this is In the Room. Brady Hicks here. I've got with me Howard Morgan. Howard's the host of WCW Retro on Thursdays. This week you guys are doing an open forum. It's always fun to interact with... Well, I can't even say that now. It's occasionally fun to interact with... We have callers.
Yes, we have callers. Yes, let's leave it at that. That's a definitive statement. We definitely have callers of all varieties.
You should be pleased as peaches to join them.
Yes.
And have us make fun of you. Now I'm on the
yes, way. Join in all the antics that go on Thursday night, WCW Retro from 8 to 10.
Be sure to check it out. So, Howard, I did a little bit of a cliffhanger there, but it's only because I think my idea is so good that I wanted people to get excited for it.
Yeah, and this is, and I don't know how far you go back, Brady, but that tease that you gave right before the break was almost like the Who Shot JR in the Dallas TV show.
Thank you. That's what I was going for. And my backup plan was just to pretend I got shot and get off the air if it went downhill. So take it back to the NWA days, right? What was special about the champion coming to a territory?
It was almost like a I don't want to say once in a lifetime thing, but it was very special. You knew that it was only going to be a limited time, you know, and you may not see him again, you know, until 2, 3, 4 months down the road. So there was hype in, you know, getting to that show and getting to see him, you know, when he was in that territory, you know, and go to as many of the stadiums as you could to catch a glimpse of, you know, and of course my time then the NWA champ was primarily Ric Flair for a lot of that, and people wanted to see Ric Flair because he wasn't there often.
Yep. And if you don't believe that, by the way, check out the Iron Claw, which I saw last week, and it's amazing. Because that really does paint a good picture of what it was like to have the champion come to your territory and what a big deal it was. All right, so with that as the framework, Howard, and we should talk about the Iron Claw, by the way, but we'll do that toward the end. With that as the backdrop, I guess you'd say, right?
Okay.
I've already condensed it to where you've got one belt, one singles belt on NXT. And that singles belt essentially functions as the workhorse title on the other two shows, right? So okay. Everybody on NXT has something to work for now. So now at WrestleMania, you take the two world champions that they just split up. And by the way, this doesn't work great with Roman Reigns as the champion, but I got to assume at some point in the next 15 years, Roman Reigns is not going to be a champion. At some point in the next 15 years.
Probably, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe within that time frame.
Something like that. So anyway, so my idea is, and don't ask me what you do with the Royal Rumble. I haven't worked out all the logistics yet. Maybe make that more of like a Money in the Bank type of thing or something, right? Or maybe you have them challenge the NXT title, which is the workhorse title, and work your way up that way. But whatever the case may be. So the main event of WrestleMania, when Brady takes over booking, has the two world champions go head-to-head, title for title. But not to unify the belts, Howard. So you've got the combined WWE World Champion can now defend that belt on all three shows, right?
Okay.
Well, just to simplify it, let's say they just defended on Raw and SmackDown, just to help people conceptualize this, right? So you've got the WWE/World Champion defending the belt for Raw shows and SmackDown shows. Now, when the WWE World Champion loses to a Raw superstar, they only lose the Raw component of the belt, and the belts are split again. Vice versa, you know, the same thing for SmackDown. Lose to a SmackDown guy, you're only defending the SmackDown belts against the SmackDown guy, the SmackDown belt against the SmackDown guys, and the Raw belt against the Raw guys. Sounds a little confusing the way I'm explaining it, but it can be so simple. Essentially, within a year, all you need is one title change, and then every WrestleMania can be the best of the best between Raw and SmackDown every year. To me, that's the way you do it.
Okay.
You would have a series of like dream matches every year, basically.
Right.
Because you would build them up. Because once that guy loses one of the two titles, they never touch. They never see each other until the following WrestleMania.
Right. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. Now, there are little logistics with it. Like, it probably works better when you do separate pay-per-views.
Right.
But, again, you're on Peacock. Does it really matter now?
Right. You know, and I've always been a fan of, or, you know, a proponent of your... Now, when you have a pay-per-view, the idea of the pay-per-view was you're getting the best of the promotion together, all on one card. So therefore, your champion should defend that title at a pay-per-view.
Yes.
Should always be defended. Always.
Always.
And I'm not big on triple threat matches or whatever, but I understand why they have them. And I do believe that's how Roman Reigns, I'm not saying it'll happen at Rumble or not, but I do believe that's how Reigns will lose the title and it not be his fault that he lost.
You really think that?
Yeah, it's to not tarnish the legacy of Roman Reigns. That's my gut feeling.
I feel like that's something Vince would have done, but I hope that Hunter knows better.
I have that gut feeling.
You got to do a little bit of tarnishing in order to pull somebody else up to his level.
Right. But and again, even if he loses to one-on-one, to whoever it is, you know, I don't think that it tarnishes the loser at all. I mean, Ric Flair lost to Dusty Rhodes, right? In what is it, 86?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't tarnish his legacy at all. So losing a title doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're done, you know, but I think that the modern day product has this stigma of, oh, well, he lost, so he's, you know, he's finished. Yeah. You know, a guy can lose and still look strong in losing.
The only time that somebody doesn't look strong losing a title in a high profile match like that, the only time they don't look strong is if they're going to go away because of injury. And at that point, it really doesn't matter because they're going away because of injury.
Right, and they can always get that steam back from being, you know, away from television. I mean,
yeah.
Look at the ovation that Randy Orton got coming back.
Yeah.
You know, and he was gone for, what, 18 months or something? 15 months,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. Well, and the analogy, I went further back with, like, the example that was in my head, but, like, when Kurt Hennig, when he lost that IC belt to Bret Hart at SummerSlam, and he went away for a couple months, you know, and when he came back, he wasn't a wrestler. So,
right.
You know, fast forward a year and 3-4 months later, whatever it was, when he came back as a babyface, and you've now got Bret Hart as the world champion. Like, for me, as a young fan, I thought, this is pretty cool. Maybe Kurt Hennig can avenge this and win the world title by targeting Bret Hart. And they stretched it out. They would write about it in WWE Magazine. They would talk about it on TV. They kept them apart, but continued to equate them to one another to the point where they finally met, I think it was like a King of the Ring, like the following year. And, you know, that both as baby faces.
Right.
And obviously, Brett's going to win that, but they had me suckered in.
No,
pulling for Hennig like nobody.
Absolutely, you know, and
yeah,
you know, and Dusty Rhodes, you know, the and people have varying opinions of Dusty Rhodes, but I thought the guy you know, was a borderline genius when it came to the, you know, the whole wrestling story and playing it out. And his theory was
hooking
it's him. Always, yeah. It's always in the chase. Like the good guy has to chase the bad guy. And when you look back with Dusty Rhodes chasing Ric Flair, even after, you know, he beats Ric Flair and Ric Flair gets it back and he's chasing Ric Flair, how many times the Horsemen and either Dusty and Magnum or Dusty and Nikita were in the ring and almost got their hands on Ric Flair, but didn't because either the Andersons were in the way or Tully Blanchard got in the way. So they really kind of kept them apart and never really had them mix it up until, you know, a big match, either at Starrcade or, you know, or whatever they were doing, or Great American Bash or whenever they were finally going to get together and they were finally going to settle it, you know, and that those crowds. And if you listen, I mean, you can find it on Peacock now, but if you listen to the crowd, don't watch the match, listen to the crowd and their reactions to what's going on, because they are so invested in what's going on, because we devoted 9 months of our lives for this moment right here, for this 20 minutes that's going to happen.
Sure.
And it just doesn't happen anymore.
It's a smart way to do things. That's why the NXT brand was like so good early on when Dusty was like doing that. Like it was heads and shoulders above the main product.
Yeah. And I always remembered watching, especially on, you know, Saturday mornings, or Saturday afternoon, I think it came on at 1 o'clock here on Channel 17, when they would have, you know, Worldwide on the NWA. It was part of the Mid-Atlantic, mm-hmm. you know, Championship Wrestling and all of that. And they would always have a match with, you know, Tully Blanchard, Magnum TA getting together, or, you know, Ole Anderson, you know, against, you know, Dusty Rhodes or something. And the match never really ended at the end of the hour. It always spilled over. So you never really knew who won. You had to tune in next week and see the end of that match and then catch the rest of the hour show going on. And they didn't do it all the time.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, they would just keep you, oh, man, now I got to remember, I got to be home at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon because I got to find out what happened. You know, and this is all pre-internet and all, because I mean, we only had the magazines, which came out, what, once a month?
Yeah.
So I wasn't waiting a month to find out who won last week. I was tuning in that week, that following week, of finding out what happened.
They made it special.
They made it special.
Yeah, they made it an event.
Yeah, and WWE had a way of doing that, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. And then it seemed like it just disappeared.
And you know what? The only exceptions that I can really think of across the board in all of wrestling are the following. The Royal Rumble is an event. WrestleMania is an event. For hardcore fans, I guess you'd say like the Tokyo Dome show.
Yeah.
But I don't know that AEW, aside from some of its earliest shows, have made any of them a spectacle to where it's like you got to tune in.
Yeah.
They're more known for like their media scrums where somebody says or does something that they shouldn't do.
Right.
That's not an event. That's a car crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, until AEW figures out how to make its shows an event, and the way they're booking, I think it makes it very difficult to make it an event.
Well, it's hard when you're booking, you know, a 2 hour show, and you're booking 14 matches on that show. And I get it; they're trying to emphasize the wrestling, but 14 matches is a lot to pay attention to, and a lot of what's going on.
Right.
You know, you have the at minimum. In 14 matches, you have 28 people kind of coming together, and sometimes more. There's tag teams and all that involved. You know, you can see as many as, you know, literally 30 people in a 2 hour show. And it's like, you don't have time to process all of that.
Now you're talking about a 4 hour show for your pay-per-view because you're
right.
Different.
Right.
And the way wrestling is today, you can't keep people apart like you used to.
No, you can't.
I remember when I was a kid getting all excited to see the Rockers fight Demolition on Saturday night's main event. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Demolition wasn't that special. The Road Warriors had come in. So they weren't like, but I just, for me, the Rockers had never won the title. I wanted to see how they stacked up against them, and they had never been in the ring together that I could remember for anything significant.
Right. That was a big deal.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
And that's why WWE felt special back in the day. NWA, too. You know, the champion comes to town. Oh, I've never seen the champion fight one of the Von Erichs. Like, that's a big deal because they never touched.
Right.
You know, now the only times you get somebody that never touches is when they call it a quote-unquote dream match, and it's usually just something that's manufactured.
Yeah. Now, and as much as I'm still not in Cody's corner, and maybe I should be or not, but that whole, you know, build-up to him and Roman Reigns, you know, especially with the promos with him and Paul Heyman going back and forth.
Yeah.
There was a really good build-up, and, you know, Paul Heyman making Cody Rhodes doubt himself. Do you really want to do this? Do you want to be away from your family, your wife, blah, blah, blah?
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, this has got Dusty written all over it. You know, and you can tell that, I mean, they both obviously have learned from Dusty, and that was a really good build up to a match that everybody wanted to see.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen enough.
It's true. And you want to know the last, in my opinion, the last really special match that WWE had?
Go ahead.
I'd have to go back a little bit, I think. But I think it was Shawn Michaels against Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had people like debut or whatever, but
right.
That was something where they kept them apart and never let them touch. And then you did it at WrestleMania, your two best performers.
Right. And when's the last time you've really been legitimately excited for a pay-per-view event?
Probably WrestleMania last year.
Yeah. So, you know, we've had major shows all year, and there should be a little bit of buzz around all of them,
yeah.
But WrestleMania last year, and then maybe a couple WrestleManias before that. There's not the build up anymore. Like it's not there. It's missing.
That's the other thing. Yeah, there's a pay per view every month. How can you build it up for more than 4 weeks?
Right. Yeah. So you have 4 weeks to tell a story.
Special. That's why WrestleMania is special, because like they'll continue to build up in that season, despite there being other shows.
Right. Yeah.
That's why it's special.
Right now, I mean, even the Brock Lesnar article was talking, because he's on promotional trailers now and being advertised for WrestleMania. So obviously he's making his return sometime between now and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But we're building towards WrestleMania, which is in, what, March? So we still have two other pay-per-views. That's why I think back in the day we had four. We had four major pay-per-views a year. And that was it.
Yeah.
And that's what they built to. Every 3 months they were telling a new story. And it took 3 months to get to that end, to the pay-per-view. And they kept people apart. And they kept them separate. And they never let them touch each other until that match. Now, there might have been scrums in the ring, or, you know, where everybody in the locker room comes down or whatever. But there really wasn't a match, an official match between the two of them.
Right. And, take it a step further. After every pay-per-view back then, after all four of them, each one would be like a mini reset where they'd start to cultivate new feuds and everything.
Yeah.
Right? When do they do that now? The only time that they do that now, a hard reset almost across the board, is usually the night or the week after WrestleMania. Not even the night after anymore, because they're usually continuing the angles from the night before.
Right. Yeah, it's not the same. And again, the internet has a lot to do with that. Everybody and their mothers now is you see articles and it's like, oh, we're exploring the possibility of this. Well, that possibility is not going to happen.
Right.
So, but they're putting it out there just to self-generate buzz to get you to watch week to week, when the show in itself should be generating the buzz to make you watch week to week, and it's right. not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Sami Zayn and the Bloodline was fantastic. I loved how that kind of played out. You know, is Sammy finally going to leave? What, you know, when is he going to leave the bloodline? Is it going to happen yeah. now? Is it, you know, and then finally it happened. And we were all kind of, I don't want to say shocked when it happened, but we were like, you know, happily shocked that it happened.
It finally did. The fact that people were disappointed when Sami Zayn didn't win the title of Roman tells you what a good job they did storyline-wise.
Oh, I was highly disappointed.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, we talked about it, you know? But, like, if you had that match before the angle, nobody would have expected Sami Zayn to win.
Right.
Sami
yeah.
wouldn't have been over. It basically, it elevated Roman, and it pushed Sami all the way up to his level.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Where losing can make you as strong or stronger than you were before. Look what it did to Sami
sure.
Zayn.
Sure.
You know, it elevated
up on Rat Boy. I'm trying to make him stronger.
Right.
Right.
It elevated him to that top tier level. He was yeah. almost there. He was right. He was right there. And then he loses, and then all of a sudden he's over the moon on top. And he lost.
Yeah.
In his hometown, in front of his wife and kids, he lost.
Same thing with Cody. As much as people trash WWE for not letting Cody win the belt at WrestleMania last year, how many more people are going to want to see him win this year?
Right. Because I go back to what Dusty said. The anticipation is in the chase.
Yeah.
He's got to chase it. If he won it just then, he just came back. He's still new, you know, new to the company again, and he wins it. There's okay, great. He's champion now. But, you know, if he happens to win at WrestleMania, watch the explosion that happens in the crowd if he winds up winning.
That's why marriage is so difficult, by the way, because the thrill's in the chase.
Right.
Once you're settled down, there ain't nothing fun about it.
Right.
Now you're just talking about your favorite restaurants every week.
Right. Or decide on which one you're going to go to.
Right, exactly.
That's why I think if I ever went into the restaurant business, I think I would name a restaurant, I don't care.
Yeah, there you go. Eat it.
Where do you want to go? Yeah, where do you want to go? I don't care. Okay, that's where we're going.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
And I told the people I work at, if I ever open the bar, it's going to be called the job site. So when you get the phone call, I'm at the job site.
Yeah. Working late.
Working late. I'm at the job site. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I told my wife if I ever open a restaurant, she better shoot me if I don't charge $30 for a hamburger. Because for the life of me, I don't know why anyone charges cheap prices for food. When you can get away with charging expensive prices for food,
right?
You know,
yeah, I don't get.
People think because it's expensive that it's good,
right? Yeah. Man, it's just at the end of the day, it's just ground beef. That's all it is.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I think we did a really good job tonight. It may have started out slow, but I think we got there.
No, we did. We definitely got there. We're, you know, and I can't believe it. You know, it's the end when, you know, almost, you know, just a few short months ago or even weeks ago, we were really just starting our show at this time.
I know. And I love it. I'm such a fan of this. I really
am. Absolutely.
It even, like, gives me time to do little things on the back end that I was just too exhausted to do.
Right.
You know? Like, I was sitting here thinking, I got plenty of time. So I work from home, obviously. I've talked about this quite a bit. It's not a surprise or anything. So, like, as long as I'm in bed and asleep by midnight, then I'm usually good. I'll get my eight and a half hours sleep. I'll get up, get a quick shower, and I'm working.
Right.
It's perfect. So now, being done the show at 9:30 local time, that gives me 2.5 hours creatively if I want to, for example, edit a video to create, like, teaser stuff.
Right.
I couldn't do that before when the show was ending at 11 o'clock.
Right. No, and I just say anything, like when we get done at 11 o'clock, and you get home or you end the day and it's like, oh, you know, it's 5 o'clock. I'm like, I got four more hours before the show starts, and you know, you got to essentially kill 4 hours. And then you're like, oh, it's 8:45. Okay, yeah. I can call in five more minutes. And then the show starts. And then by 11 o'clock, I'm wound up again.
Yep. Yeah. And then you're up until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And I get up, you know, around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, man, I'm just not.
Yeah. That used to be me. That used to be me. It's tough. It's really tough. But there are so many benefits. And I'm actually so glad to see that all the other shows have kind of followed suit and like pushed up their start times. It just makes more sense.
No, it does. I'd
be falling asleep on the couch watching TV at 8:30 thinking, I got to stay awake just long enough to get on the air at 9 o'clock and then be amped up until whatever time in the morning.
Yeah.
It was awful. It's an awful way to look at things.
Right.
Well, anyway. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I do like doing it on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Like you said, it gives me, you know, an hour or so to wind back down and, you know, and kind of just relax, you know, but, you know, before you go to sleep and, you know, get back up in the morning.
Yeah. Yep. Well, good stuff all around. So, so the VO. Thursday night, WCW Retro. We'll talk about that in 1 second. Usually like Friday or Saturday, we're getting the Wrestling with History with my business partner, the voice of choice, Bruce Word, and our original co-host on the radio, Namar Wells. We've got Bumps and Thumps on Sunday with Brian Ferguson. We've got Rock and we've got Top Rope Radio, and of course we've got In the Room on Tuesdays. So lots of great stuff. Howard, WCW Retro this week. Open forum. Should be a good time.
Yes, I'm hoping that Chaz Moretti will be back. I hope he's feeling a little bit better and you know, recovering from that terrible, you know, incident that he had and, you know, and losing his leg. But he's still in good spirits. He's only just a few weeks away from being fitted for his bionic leg. So, you know, we hope to have him back on Thursday, you know, and I'm sure we'll be joined by Ratboy on Thursday because he's faithful in calling in each and every week. You know, and dare I say, sometimes, you know, and you know, you can erase this after I say it, that he actually is a blessing to have on sometimes. And I can't believe them words just came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But they did.
What little company he is. It's a good thing. So be sure to check that out. Of course, any live program, you can just visit callvoc.com to interact with us. You heard it tonight with the callers. We try to do that just to make it a little bit different than everybody else. So be sure to check that out. Again, callvoc.com. From my end, ECWA is coming back in March with the Super 8 tournament. We're going to start digging into the field pretty soon and maybe try and get a couple interviews going with that. And, that's going to do it, you know. Everybody take care. Be good to each other. Thanks so much for checking out In the Room. And thanks for all the support and everything. It's just been great. So, love you all. Thanks to the best cash and crew I could ever ask for. I'm jumping around a lot, but I think I'm finally done. Everybody take care.
Good night, everybody.